Hello, and welcome to our inner healer gathering, which then, this recording is actually going to be used not for inner healer work as much, although maybe there will be some of that along the way, but more for the musings of the new moon in Sag, which in the sign of Sagittarius, which happens on the 19th. As I'm recording this, it'll happen tomorrow, which is Friday, which is when I'm hoping this video will actually have been posted so that you're getting the information that you need. And that moon will actually coincide with the solstice on the 21st. There's a lot of big talking points here. This is the last moon for 2025. We are going to have a full moon, but that full moon is not going to happen until January 3rd. And if you know anything about the moon cycles, we have a new moon and then we have a full moon. So the full moon to this new moon happens in 2026. So on some level, we could look at that energetically and say that it signifies a slight continuation of the 2025 energies into 2026. Now, that is true because we won't have our first wrap up until we hit January 26th, January 26th, where we have a huge super ending. That's ending a 12,000 year cycle. And then we have another shift in February, another shift in March, and the shift in March completes a time period back to September 2024. And then the rest of the year in 2026 is, even though it's a new year for a number one cycle of new beginnings, it's n really not going to feel like new beginnings until we get more to the end of the year, because the beginning of the year is still going to be this wrap-up cycle. And if you remember, and I mentioned this, I think, in another talk, that we're actually not going to complete this cycle until 2027. And I don't know the exact date offhand. I will try to get that for the next recording. But we have a major event right in the beginning of 2027. I believe it's either February or March. And that is a culmination, completion, going, taking us years back. That's finally finishing up and completing karma for many of us. So what we're looking at right now is we're looking at this new moon in Sagittarius, looking at the energies of it. And it is a new moon that is 29 degrees, or yeah, to, no, 28 degrees, excuse me, 28 degrees, 29 degrees in astrology, because it goes from 1 to 29. 29 is the degree of completion. So this moon is pointing to a time of almost that complete completion, but not yet, because it's only 28 degrees, right? So it's very, very close to that last degree. And what's also very important about this moon is that it's pointing to the galactic center with the sun. The sun is also pointing to the galactic center. And we have a new energy that's going to be coming in, that's going to be brought in through this joining by the sun and this moon, because the sun is also at 28 degrees. This Sagittarius new moon is at 28 degrees. It's happening on the 19th this week. And if we look at 2 plus 8 for 28, it adds up to 10. So the sun is at 28, which is a 10. The moon is at 28, which is a 10. And the 19th, 1 and 9, also adds up to a 10. So we're in a 10, 10, 10 energy cycle, which is super, super powerful. And the reason for that, and I love this so much, is because when we look at the 10, 10, 10, not only is 10 for me, the number of God, right, or creator, it's creator energy. So this is going to feel like it's pushing us to these greater creation codes. But 10 is also a one. And in numerology and astrology, 10 is a one, and one is a new beginning. And we're heading into 2026. And when you add up the 2, 2, 6, that also adds up to a 10, which is a one, which is a 1 year of new beginnings, which is refreshing us. It's shifting the energies. And so these energies are kind of the preview into February's energies. So we're kind of sh starting the new year off with a huge shift and a release of sorts. Okay. So this is a very, very powerful moment for deep introspection. This also has an importance, since I mean, an important time, rather. It's everything is important right now, but because the Three Eye Atlas, which is the interstellar atlas, right, or interstellar comet, or whatever you want to call it, will be closest to the Earth on the full moon. So on the 19th, it's closest to the Earth. It has literally touched every planet, it's gotten close to every planet, and I think the last planet that it's going to visit, because that's the final planet in all of the planets, is going to be Jupiter, if I'm not mistaken. Okay. So this has some significance. This is important for us. This is important for humanity. It's important for our evolution. Okay. So this, I believe, is where we're going to start to feel more codes coming in. If you haven't been feeling them, it's been hot and heavy. It's pushing everything up to the surface. But, Sagittarius is the planet that Jupiter rules, which is the sign of knowledge and wisdom. Okay. And it puts us in a really great energy for our own expansion and consciousness. And also allows for us to have new insights. Sagittarius is a sign that is associated with adventure. Okay. It likes freedom. We've talked about this before in the past, but it likes adventure. It likes freedom. And so it does feel like these energies are a preview of the energies that are to come, which will be starting off the new year with a huge shift and then a release, as I had mentioned. Now, what's interesting about this, at least for me, is that Sagittarius is a centaur, right? It's half man, half horse. Now, where are we going next year? We're going into the sign of the fire horse in Chinese astrology. So that to me is very interesting, especially since the new moon in Sagittarius is a completion for the 2025 energies, and we're shifting immediately into 2026 and the sign of the fire horse. Sagittarius is a fire sign. So there's a lot of synchronicity here. It's really amazing to look at this and have such a deep, awareness to what is going to be transpiring, because I feel like we're on the precipice of something really, really important. However, because of the alignment of some of the other planets, it might feel like a bit of friction in the field, right? You might feel tension. Your interactions with other people might feel a little tense, or maybe trying to get your work done or trying to get something accomplished is going to feel intense, or relationships in your life might feel intense. I know plenty of people that are going through some intense moments right now in their relationships, but the energies are meant to move us into action. So if we're feeling this intensity with these energies, it's simply because they are meant to move us forward in some way, shape, or form. And so we have to look at that and honor it and say, okay, this is really in its perfection right now. And it's up to me to see that and be okay with that because this is where I am in this moment. And I know I wouldn't be where I am in this moment if I wasn't in my perfection. So that's a positive way of dealing with this. So, due to the planetary alignments and the energies they are bringing forward, especially in the area of conflict, this is a powerful time to let go of what is no longer serving in order to move yourself forward, right? I mean, there's so many things. I'm having so many conversations with people about, people, places, pets, situations that are just not in alignment or don't feel like they're in alignment anymore. And it just feels like a burden to carry it forward. This is telling you it is really time to take a look at the picture. I mean, maybe you're in your own business, or maybe you're a healer. Maybe you are someone who has multi modalities that you do, and you're feeling more toward one modality than you are toward another. And I could point back to when my guides told me to move on from Reiki. Everything is an activation for us. Everything is an initiant for us. And sometimes it's just meant to open a pathway within the body vehicle. It's not meant for us to stay in it. But people get stuck in different services and modalities that they're no longer aligned with because they don't realize that it was just simply a vehicle to open the frequencies within them or ignite the codes within them. And sometimes it can be that way with a job, right? I remember when I was working my corporate job and I had cancer. And so I had cancer for the first time in 2000, but I didn't leave my corporate job until 2008. And when I started to work through the cancer and figure out what could I do to heal the cancer because the doctors didn't seem to have an answer, I wasn't really sure what that looked like. I was starting to gain knowledge, and through gaining knowledge, people were coming to me because they noticed me shifting. They noticed me looking better and better. They were hearing the stories about me having had cancer, and they couldn't believe I looked so good and I lost weight and what was I doing? And then I found myself kind of sort of hanging a shingle outside my cubicle, and I was talking to people every day. At some point in my day, somebody would come by and ask, "Hey, do you have a few minutes to chat?" And I would be like, "Sure." Or if I didn't, I would be like, "Well, I can come by you later because right now I have to go to a meeting or something." And it became this way for me to share my knowledge and help people through whatever it was that was going on with them. At first, it wasn't meant for me to leave my job. Being at my job and having healed cancer was a vehicle. It was a great experience for me because I was getting to share that information with so many people. And then I felt very called to a particular chiropractic office for a treatment for myself. And when I walked into his office, I felt like I was home. I felt like I knew this guy. And he actually was impressed with the amount of information I had regarding cancer, and he handed me a brochure to the college, to the nutritional program that he graduated from, which was the program at the Institute for Integrative Nutrition. And he was like, "You should go there. I'll give you an office here. You can have any one of the suites that are available, and I want you to be my in-house nutrition person." And I was like, "Oh my God, my life has changed in an instant," right? Because I was doing something positive for myself. I was healing myself. I wasn't looking to the outside. I wasn't looking to anybody else to fix me. I wasn't looking to anybody else to save me because I realized nobody else was going to do that because the doctors weren't able to do it. And if the doctors weren't able to do it, I felt like nobody else was going to be able to do it. So I did it for myself. So then I started working for him. That was in like 2005. And I was going to school for nutrition. I was working my full-time job, which was varying between 12 and 14 hours a week, a day, 5 days a week. Very, very stressful, because I was working the 12 to 14-hour days. And so the only time I had off was weekends, and I was going into Manhattan to Columbus Circle to the School for Integrative Nutrition to get my certification as a wellness coach. And it was a lot on my plate at that time, but I felt so alive. I probably felt more alive than I've ever felt in my whole life. And things just lined up for me. I was meant to do this. And then as soon as I graduated, I started working for him. He pointed me in the direction of a mentor for Reiki because he thought I would be good at Reiki. I went, I got certified right away. The minute I was certified, I started working on people and I opened a Reiki practice, and my Saturday and Sunday were filled because I was still working a full-time job. And I was seeing 10 people at least, if not more, on the weekends. And it was so rewarding that by the time 2008 came around, I felt like this is what I'm meant to do. I'm supposed to do this. I'm not supposed to be at my corporate job anymore. And I left my corporate job. So from the point where I got cancer was in 2000, in March 2000, to May 2008, it took me 8 years to wrap up the corporate job. You know, I really feel like we do have to pay attention to that because we can't just make a leap out of something into something else without some kind of basis or some kind of foundation. And that was the best thing I could have ever done. But, you know, it was because I was so focused. I was focused on growing myself. I was focused on healing myself. I wasn't focused on anybody or anything that was outside of me. I was just simply focused on what I could do that was going to maximize my potential. And I never stopped learning. Every single day driving to work for that 8 year period, I had on some kind of recording, whether it was Carolyn Mace or Wayne Dyer or any of the biggies back then that were like the way to go, right? The Angel Card Lady, what the heck was her name? Her son is doing it now. But Doreen Virtue, right? So I was listening to her. I was listening to Sonia Chiquette. I mean, all of the old school big names. I was doing everything with them. Colette Baron-Reed, I mean, like all of them. And I, during that 8 year period, ended up going to the I Can Do It conference down here in Tampa, staying at a hotel for, I think I was down here for almost a week. I came down with a friend of mine. Her family had owned a condo down here, so we stayed at the condo, and it was just amazing. It was like this very profound part of myself that I needed to experience, I needed to explore, you know? And I look back at that, and that was the time that I had the most significant growth. And I already had known at that point in 2008 that my relationship with my husband then, Pete, was not going where I wanted it to go. So it really forced me to root into myself because I knew at some point we probably were going to end the marriage. And it was important for me to be on my path and focused on me. But I was never focused on anything outside of myself. I didn't care who was saying what because it had no relevance for me. All I knew is I needed to move myself forward. And I'm a firm believer that when we're focused on ourselves and we're focused on doing our best and being in vibrational alignment and being the highest version of our spiritual self, the universe matches us up with those situations and circumstances that are going to excel us and move us forward, which is what happened to me coming down here to Joe's, right? This feels very destined, like I am destined to be here. And now I'm looking at this going like, oh boy, I am feeling some kind of change coming in, and I don't know what it is yet, but I could already feel what is shifting for me as I'm looking at my creations and who I am and the parts of myself that I can no longer identify with, and those parts of myself that are feeling heavy, like I carry that as a, part of me that I need to just unburden myself from. And so it's again this transformation and renewal. And so I want you to sit and I want you to look at that and think to yourself, like, what am I going through at this moment that I need to let go of? What am I doing? How am I behaving? What are my patterns? What are my habits that I'm doing or not doing that I need to let go of? And you know what? One of the things I need to bring in is more exercise, because even though I am always, very active during the day, I'm always up and down, doing things, whatever. I still need to make sure that I'm getting more exercise because I don't get enough. So that's something that, I realize I need to do, right? But there's something for each of us that we are needing to do, something that we're needing to bring in more of. I mean, another thing that I could point to is the fact that I am home all the time. I love being home. I'm a Cancer. I'm a homebody. However, I need to get out and I need to explore. I have a Sagittarius rising and I need that Sagittarius adventure. I need that fiery essence of the exploration of the unknown. And when I explore the unknown, I'm always at my happiest. But when I forget and I sit in the same old day in, day out, day in, day out, I have a tendency to feel apathy. And then I realize, hey, that's because I'm not really doing anything that is making my Sagittarius aspect happy. And I need to take little adventures and go here and go there and experience what the world has to offer me. Right. So it's about making those moments. And if we don't, we're not doing that, then we're not living our best life. And even the unloading part, when we feel like we have to give something up because it just doesn't feel aligned anymore. When I gave up Reiki, I did it because my guides told me to, not because I wasn't loving it anymore. But once I gave it up, I realized I wasn't loving it as much as I had when I first started doing Reiki. And I felt okay with that, because at first I was like, how is this going to work? Are people still going to want to come for a session? What is that going to look like? But then when I let go and I thought, it doesn't have to look like anything that I think it's going to look like, it could be something completely different. It was. And it turned into something more amazing, right? And out of that, we get to 2020 and the community gets born, right? So sometimes out of the letting go, something even more powerful can come in, but we have to get out of the way. So awareness is key. We have to see where we're holding ourselves back and where we need to let go. Sometimes, as I mentioned, it's going to be the job. Sometimes it's going to be our business. Sometimes it's going to be work, relationships. Maybe there's a story that we tell about ourselves over and over and over again, or we tell that story about our life, about something that didn't work, or maybe something that we liked so much better. And maybe it's about where we live and we don't love it here. We'd rather be someplace else. I say acknowledge it and think big, because when we acknowledge what's not right anymore, when we acknowledge what's just not working anymore, it can actually collapse the conflict that we're having with ourselves. But we have to be brave enough to acknowledge it. And we have to be brave enough to walk through the collapse of it, which can be challenging, right? It can make us feel heavy at first as we're going through it. But then we can all of a sudden feel light and we can feel airy and we feel confident. The other day, I had an impromptu session with somebody in the community, Joanne. I think you all know her. She comes on when she is able, and she's been with me in the work probably since I moved into the house in Medford 2018. Maybe she started in 2019 or 2020, I don't know, but around there somewhere. And so she's been with me for a long time, for a good many years. And she needed some support with what she was dealing with because she felt like her world was coming down around her. And when we got on the call, she was very emotional and crying. And I said to her, "Why are you crying?" And she said, "I just can't handle it anymore. I feel overwhelmed and overloaded." And I said to her, because you know me, I'm going to be very, point blank. That's my Sagittarius nature. It doesn't, pull any punches. It's very straightforward. The Cancer part of me will come in and nurture you if there's nurturing to be had. But sometimes it's important to let someone walk through the pain and suffering and come to that place of being on their knees, because if we keep coming in with the compassion and the saving part of it, we're stopping them from getting to that darkness that can shift them. And sometimes only that darkness can shift us. Sometimes we just can't get there because our thoughts are in the way, because our ego is in the way. So if I'm working with somebody and it feels like I'm not being compassionate, it's not that at all. It's that I'm trying to get that person to surrender. Because in the surrender, new growth can be birthed. But if we're not willing to surrender, it's just the same thing over and over and over again. And then we're just not growing. And I'm not here for that. I'm not here to foster that condition of perpetual self-abuse and pain and suffering. I'm not here for that. I did not come into this world for that. I know this about me. So I'm going to try to move you forward the best I can in the fastest way possible. I don't want to take an hour to get there. We're going to take 5 minutes to get there, and then you can take an hour to work through what's coming up, right? I'd rather do it that way than spend an hour with you. Finally, at the end of the hour, we get to that sweet spot, and then the time is up and we have to go, and you're left hanging by a thread because there's no more time. I want to get to that sweet spot in the first 5 minutes, and then we have an hour to talk about it. Then we have an hour to work through. We have an hour to process it, right? That's how the work is supposed to work, according to my higher self. So Joanne comes on the call and she's a mess, and I feel so sad for her. I feel so bad, but I know she's at her breaking point. I know she's at the tipping point. I can feel it. And I say to her at one point, as she's telling me it's too much and her mom is not doing well and she can't go through like another weeks and months and years of this pain and suffering and having to deal with the family members and everything, and it's all falling on her shoulders, and I wanted to take her out of that victim mentality. And so as I was tuning into her, I simply asked her, well, how would it feel if you gave your mother permission to do what she needs to do, to take matters into her own hands if she is ready to go? Because the sadness and grief that we hold on to when somebody passes away, or even if they're in those stages of needing to pass away, right? Like somebody that has cancer or something like that, they will linger. Like somebody who's sick and really should pass because they're needing to go. But our codependency, our resistance in seeing them pass, holds them earthbound. It ties them to the earth, especially if we're that light worker, a healer that wants to save the day. We're going to save that sibling, that parent, that friend. We're going to save them, right? The child. We're going to save them. We have to do everything we can. Everybody, please pray. Pray for them to heal. Pray for them to stay. And then all that's happening there on the level of the soul that needs to depart is that they have to linger because there's such unrest in the human condition around them that they can't go yet because there's so much unrest. And then there's pain and suffering there through the soul that can't leave. And in the same way, the soul that has already departed, when we have extreme pain and suffering and we can't let go because we can't resolve it internally within ourselves, if we can't resolve it, that soul that has passed is in a place of unrest and it can't resolve it either because it's being brought earthbound by those who are grieving that individual and that soul having left the earth plane. So when we are distraught and we're grieving and we can't accept the death, we keep that soul tied to the earth. And I know that's really hard to hear, but that's how it works, right? So when we memorialize someone repeatedly and we can't move our emotional body into a place of acceptance, there's those stages of grief, right, that we go through, the denial, the bargaining, then the acceptance and the surrender and all of that sort of stuff, right? We want to bargain. It should have been me, right? I can't believe this has happened. Oh, then we go into it should have been me. Oh, why did they have to leave, right? And it just keeps them earthbound. It makes it so hard for them to leave. So I said to Joanne, what would that be like for you if you could just give your mother permission to go if she needed to go, right? You're not telling her to go, but you're saying, hey, if you need to depart, if this is what's better for you, then I want you to make that decision to go and I'll be okay with it if this is what's better for you. I love you anyway, no matter what, but I don't want you to suffer and I don't want to suffer. And Joanne immediately stopped crying and she said, I could do that. And I said, yeah, because it's not you and you can't feel the guilt about that. You're giving her the permission and you know that your siblings are not going to do that. And there's a connection with your mother between you and her that you need to be the one to do that because that will be received in a way needed. And we had a little bit more of a talk. She felt very good about the conversation, was hanging up with me to give her mother permission to do what she needed to do. If it was to pass, then she would be okay with that. And the next night, I got a call from Joanne, or a message rather, from Joanne saying, thank you for helping me through that because I did give her the permission if she needed to go. And I want you to know that my mother just passed. It was over. And it was over for Joanne, and the suffering was over for her mother, who had dementia for many, many, many years, right? So then Joanne decides she needs to do another session, and we get on another call, and she's telling me how she's unresolved and she wants to connect with the psychic medium because she wants to talk to her mom and get some information or whatever. And I said to her, well, I think your mom is right here. What are you looking for? And then, she said, well, I just wanted to know what the dementia was all about with her and what that was. And as Joanne is asking me the questions, her mother is pointing to the fact that one of the siblings spoke with her in such a mean way, belittling and everything else, that she started to tune out of her reality. She started to tune out of this world and spend more time on the other side. And that's dementia. Dementia is when we are unhappy with what is taking place here. We find comfort and solace in peeking into a higher dimensional state. And we're no longer mentally here. Just the body is here because the body is too healthy to die. Okay. And that's what was happening with Joanne's mother. Her body was too healthy to die. She would have stayed in that hospital probably another couple of years. Her head wasn't in the place, but her body was certainly able to support herself. So by Joanne giving her permission to do what she needed to do, she was able to close everything down. Her soul was able to close everything down and move on. So when I explained to Joanne, Joanne said that makes a lot of sense because she had one sibling who was extremely mean and malicious toward her mother, and it made a lot of sense to her what I was saying. It was spot on, and she actually felt a great sense of relief from our conversation and is, probably going to come back again for another session. Now, this is the way it works, right? And sometimes we need to be okay with what is transpiring. This is a time on the earth where we are going to see souls passing. We're going to see this transpiring in our life over the next couple of years. I know some of us have already experienced that, but we're going to experience it in a to a greater degree where we're going to be like, oh my goodness, it's, this person just told me about somebody and this person just told me about somebody, because this is where souls that are not meant to ascend their consciousness, they were only playing a role for us, which I don't use the word only lightly. They were playing a role for us that helped us, so it had extreme significance to us, right? So it's time for us to expand through self-discovery, to learn, to adventure, to free ourselves. But if we're bogged down by something that we cannot get out from under, right? Like I just shared about Joanne. By the way, she did give me permission to share that in its fullness because she thought it might help a few people in the community. Now, we need to free ourselves. That's one of the directives of this new moon. Okay. Awakening right now is unavoidable. It's unavoidable. We're going to get pushed to our max, to the point where we can't ignore the obvious anymore. We can't ignore it. We're going to get pushed to that point where we're going to have to make some decisions. We're going to have some profound releases. There are going to be some epic revelations happening. Okay. And in order to have greater clarity, our beliefs are going to be challenged. So, this time that we're in is all about resolving our boundaries and limitations, right? The limitations that we hold ourselves to, or the boundaries and restrictions. I can't look away. I can't pull away. This situation needs me. It needs my attention. Well, what if you're part of what's fostering that situation? What if your attention to it is actually stoking the fires? What about that? Knowing that, could you pull yourself away now? Because maybe you're part of the creation of that. How crazy is it to think that? But yet, very true. So, this is a point where we cannot carry external stories forward. We have to start to let go. And I mean external, I mean everything. If it comes through the TV, shut it off. Stop watching that nonsense because it's garbage. When you turn off the TV and you turn off the noise and you're not talking to anybody about how they feel so sad about what's going on in the government, or they feel so happy about what's going on in the government, when you pull out of all of that, your emotions are not swayed by anything and you are able to stand in your truth. And there is no influence from the outside because then it becomes you. So the most important point right now is the exploration to what brings us joy. And we're not going to be able to do that if we're consistently holding on to the outer reality because the outer reality is feeding the field. We got to let it go. At some point, we have to change direction and let it go. So it's important to purge ourselves, right? Purge ourselves from these things that are keeping us hostage, whatever it is, right? If you're in some kind of group and the group is just constantly complaining about how hard it is or how this it is, and you sit and you listen, and then there's a part of you that doesn't want to feel left out of the group, and then you start to commiserate, even though it's not really fully how you feel, you're lining yourself up and tying your energy to low-level energies, and then you're going to experience your life from the perspective of these low-level energies. This is how it plays out. It's time to purge the old identity. If there's any little bit of victim left in us, get rid of it. Let it go. We have to move on from that. This time that we're in supports humanity's awakening, and we're part of humanity, so we have to understand that this is about our awakening too. Things are going to need to be revealed in order to be purged. The outer reality is is going to come smacking us in the face. We always thought it was this way, and now we find out it's that way, and we don't like it. Well, you know what? Let it go. Don't watch it because we already know none of it is true. It's just how we chose to play the game. It's how the game of 3D works. It's how the game of the Matrix works, right? So just let it go. Stillness can assist in rebalancing our nervous system. So take some time out and celebrate the solstice. That would be a good way to really feel into what is ours and what is not. And again, that new identity that's wanting to be born, it can't be born until we're willing to let go of some of the old identity that we had. So, who is the who part of you that you no longer feel aligned with? What part of yourself does not feel authentic anymore? That's a big question. Get your journal out and journal that. What part of myself is no longer authentic? Where can I just not play this out anymore? Where can I just not interact in this way anymore? What is not feeling good to me anymore? We need the stillness to rebalance the nervous system. Because when we're in stillness, right? And I'm in alone time a lot down here because I still don't really know people in this area. I've met a couple of people, but that's not really, who I want to be spending a whole lot of time with or anything. When you're in that kind of stillness, you start to become very aware of what's supporting your journey and what's not. Okay. So it's very important to take that time out because this energy has the ability right now, because there's some planets that don't want to play nice with each other, to make us feel a little frazzled. So if you feel frazzled, stop yourself. Tell yourself it's okay to feel this way because something is wanting to present. Something is wanting to come to the surface. And if something wants to come to the surface and present, let it. Because it means that you are refusing or resisting to see what it is any other way. So these energies that are in conflict are going to bring up the conflict within us. So that feeling of frazzle is going to help shift whatever it is that needs to come up. So things that are going to make us feel like life has gotten difficult all of a sudden, or life has gotten challenging. If you're feeling like something is difficult, if you're feeling like something is challenging, if it feels heavy, just stop yourself, take a breath, close your eyes, and say, yes, even this is in perfection to my evolution. Yes. Even this that I don't like is in perfection to my evolution. The more you can look away and be present for yourself and tune to the energy of this Sagittarius new moon, the more we can feel the joy that is innately within us. The deeper the path enriches with goodness. And then at some point, because Sagittarius is get up and go energy, we might just feel a new sense of adventure. Let yourself feel it. Let yourself feel it. Let yourself have your truth. We are so good at hiding our truth. We are so good at shielding ourselves from what is needed most. We must start to realize that everything is lining up to help us move forward, to help us shift to our best version of ourself. And interestingly, I believe that a big part of this is going to come through the galactic center, because with this three-eye atlas, I believe the codes are being deposited and the energies of the planets are going to start to shift. So in other words, what Mars represents is not going to be really what Mars represents going forward as we evolve through these next couple of years. The energy of Mars is going to change somewhat, okay? And the energy of Saturn is going to change somewhat. And the energy of Jupiter is going to change. So all the planets are going to take on slightly new meanings. And this will be very, very important. Now, what is happening at the same time, as I mentioned, is the solstice, right? And always through the solstice, there is this death and rebirthing that happens, okay? And especially this one, because it's so powerful that it's right in conjunction with this new moon and right on the precipice of the year ending of a year of endings ending. As we have these completion energies helping us shift our focus into new opportunities so that we can bring ourselves into better alignment with where we need to be. Okay. And the solstice for me has always represented that sacred passage, where we come into greater alignment and connect even deeper into the higher realms. So it's really important. And, I was thinking the other day, I'm starting to hear people talking about waves, the waves of energy. And I remember going back, oh my gosh, I don't even know how far back this is. I don't know if it was like 2014, 2015, but there were a whole bunch of light workers back then talking about waves. And because the way people were interpreting it through the dreams that they were having, it seemed as if it was going to be like a tsunami wave hitting the planet. And then there was a lot of fear at that time about how that was going to present, if there was going to be this tsunami that was going to wipe out the United States and all this other stuff. But as it turns out, it's waves of like these cosmic light frequencies that we're having right now, these waves of conscious awakening that are happening. There's these stages of interplanetary evolution, right? Humanity's own personal evolution. And these new light frequencies that are coming through right now, as we're having the solar flares and the geostorms and all of that, are creating this more intensified sun experience. And the other day, I was laying in bed and I was thinking about the sun, and I was thinking about my experience with the solar flash that I had. And I know that's probably going to come around again as a talking point for people because they believe that humanity is going to have one big solar flash. But I want you to understand, it's not an all or nothing thing. We're each going to experience it differently. And in case you didn't hear me talk about it back then, when I had the solar flash, and I think I might even have a post on my website, a blog post on my website. I have to see if I could find it. When I spoke about the solar flash, it was personal. I saw it in my third eye. I saw it in my mind's eye. It was like the sun exploded around me and I felt like I died. That is the birth, the death and rebirthing of the soul, right? I've noticed that it's already lining up because the sun's been like in the same position the last couple of days. And we're in a cycle of completion to a rebirthing. And this is a time for us where our own inner light is awakening within us. And I guess we could call it a sun type of light, right? Or a solar light within us, because the discs, the 33 discs in our back, are solar point centers. But I know that the heart center has been very significant as an activation point within the body. So if you are having palpitations or any experiences like that, just know that you're being called to higher light. And this is really a good time to get quiet, put your hands on your heart. Tune yourself in, right? Do some breathing. I love the 4-count breath in. So, taking 4 counts in, holding for four, and that would be a nose breath, and then letting the breath out through your mouth for 7 counts, and then holding for four, and then through your nose, bringing that breath in for 4 counts again. And then holding the breath for 4 counts, and then letting that breath out through the mouth for 7, and then holding again, and just keep repeating that pattern. And allow yourself to think about your own rebirthing. Okay. This will really help all of us tune in deeper. and connect with that zero point energy that we've talked about for years and years and years. This is such a profound time to have really deep and meaningful dreams. I've had some really powerful dreams. A couple of nights ago, I was starting to fall into sleep state, drifted above my bed. I was on the ceiling and then was able to see another lifetime, the last lifetime, where Bella was actually a dog. I think it was a German Shepherd. It was quite a big dog. But it's important to write and journal. You might have sudden flashes of information coming in or sudden aha moments. I've had so many aha moments that I've journaled over the last couple of weeks. That's really helped me move away from some very toxic energy that I needed to heal and reclaim myself through. And I feel like this is a very powerful time for all of us to do that. So, very important to hold yourself with love and the deepest appreciation so that you can have a deeper look within yourself and find those moments that bring you back into the truth of who you are. Because we all end up losing our truth. We all end up losing a sense of self because we're constantly in giving mode, even if we're not doing this work on a full-time basis. So I want to challenge you to do that, okay? And yeah, I think we're going to end it here. Very important time. Please, please pay attention to what is coming through for you. It's so important. If you're feeling like you're at your max and you just can't go another step, it's time to do some deeper work, okay? Whether it's with me or somebody else, if you're feeling that, just do it. Just give that gift to yourself. Go in, do the deeper work, let it free you up. Let it help clear the patterns and behaviors that have been on repeat. It's so important. All right. So know that I love you so, so very much. For those of you who are celebrating Christmas, I want you to have a very Merry Christmas and be joyous. Celebrate yourself and celebrate the amazing time that we're in, this time of transformation. For those of you that are celebrating Hanukkah, I wish you a very happy Hanukkah. And again, celebrate the transformation. Celebrate the light within you, not the light without. And for everybody, have a very, very safe holiday season. I will see you all again soon. I love you so very much. Take care. Bye-bye.